All right, Sevra, welcome. This is Vivek Chaim. Very excited about having Rabbi Ari Feigenbaum as our guest speaker today. Rabbi Feigenbaum, I'm proud to claim, is my rabbi, made a big impact on me and my tshuva years in Dallas, Texas. If you're ever in Dallas, Texas, please go visit Congregational HaTorah, where Rabbi Feigenbaum has been the rabbi there for quite a number of years, making a big impact, not only on me, but many, 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 many others. So without further ado, this is, I think, Rabbi, is this like the fourth or fifth year that you've spoken to the
Chevra? I think it's the fifth year. I think that's
wonderful. Beautiful. Beautiful. Well, we appreciate that, Rabbi, and we're looking forward to your words of chizuk and inspiration. Chevra, as I said before, after this call is being recorded, after Rabbi speaks, take off the mute, and then it's open to questions. So without further ado, Rabbi Feigenbaum. Okay, Rabbi? Hello?
Hello, can you hear me?
Rabbi, are you there?
Can you hear me?
Now I hear you. Yeah, now we hear you.
Okay, hang on one second.
All right.
I'm back on. Hello?
Okay, all right.
Hello?
So, good.
Hello? Okay, now you can hear
me?
Yeah. Okay.
Now we can hear you. Whatever speaker system, yeah, I think we got you now.
Okay. So it is a pleasure, and I look forward to being able to participate with this very special group and being able to give over a little bit of chizuk during this special time of year, because I will tell you that I think that the fact that I can say a few words and that might help you gives me an incredible amount of chizuk, because I think that Hashem looks down at Klal Yisrael during this time of year, and he sees who's struggling, which is all of us, and who's fighting through, and who's trying, and who's working hard, and he says, okay, if there's a group that's working hard, then I'm going to forgive Klal Yisrael. And I think that this group, that you get much of the credit to that slicha that Hashem gives us on Yom Kippur. So I thank you, and I thank you for this opportunity. This summer, I did something that I've never done before. I've been on many road trips with different parts of my whole family, different ones of my sons, but I went on a road trip with all five of my sons. And we went to Glacier National Park in northern Montana, and we did something that we've never done, and that is we went on an all-day hike. Right? It was a 7.8-mile round-trip hike, going up an elevation of 1,800 feet to a beautiful view of Grinnell Glacier. We hiked up and up and up in this bear-infested area, which, of course, we didn't see any bears, which we really wanted to. We got wet walking through a waterfall, because that beat the other option of falling off the side of the cliff. And we kept going up and up and up. And I didn't know if I could make it. I didn't know if my younger ones, my 8-year-old, my 11-year-old, I didn't know if they could make it. But we were determined. We started this hike. We were looking up at a beautiful waterfall. And by the end of the hike, we were looking down over it. The most spectacular thing that we saw was the glacier itself, Grinnell Glacier. And the lake, that's the runoff of the glacier. There's something very striking about lakes that come from glacier runoffs, that they're a very, very deep green. There is within the glacier something called glacier sand. When the glacier melts, together, the runoff together with the glacier sand flow into the lake. The glacier sand, listen to this, neither sinks nor floats to the top. It stays in the middle, and it gives the lake its beauty. I said to my sons, look at that. Look at that glacier sand. Look at that lake. Look at that beauty. I said, that's us. That's Klal Yisrael. We're separate from the rest of the world, but we give the world its beauty. But it isn't always obvious to us. It isn't recognized by us unless we push, unless we do more than we think that we can do. I went back and forth for months, literally. Should we go on this hike? Should we not go? What about me? What about my younger sons? Is it worth it? But we went, and it was unbelievable. I heard from Ram Shvor. He quoted a Zohar HaKadosh in Parshas Noach that says, Hashem says, "Meshabech ani es galei hayam." I praise the waves of the sea. The waves know that there's a yabasha, there's a shore, there's dry land, and that they, the waves, that they're relegated to the sea, that they can't go over the boundaries. Yet every day, time and time again, they try. They don't stop. They keep on pushing. They might fail. They fail every day, but they don't stop. They keep on pushing. So Hashem says, Mishabeach ani et galei hayam. I praise the waves. The waves, they have a boundary. But you, Klal Yisrael, your boundaries, they're not visible to you. You can achieve far more than you think you can achieve. You can soar to levels that you didn't know that were there. Levels in learning, in chesed, in avoda, right? Levels in honesty, in erlichkeit. Right? The key is we have to be like the waves. We have to keep pushing, to keep going. No stopping. Doesn't matter what happened yesterday. Doesn't matter what happened this morning. Today I'm going to keep pushing. The Talmud of Eliyahu writes on the first pasuk of Aseret HaDibros, first pasuk of the Ten Commandments, Vayedaber Elokim es kol adonai lemor. Hashem spoke all these words saying, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, I am Hashem your God. Baruch HaMakom Baruch Hu, like we say in our God, the blessed is the omnipresent, blessed is He. Shebachar Behem B'Yisrael Yosem B'Kol Amim. That Hashem chose Klal Yisrael, He chose us more than the other nations. V'kana Osam Kinyan Gamar. And Hashem fully acquired them. V'kara Osam Banim V'advadim L'Shmo. And He called them, Hashem called us, His children, servants for Him. L'fam M'daberim Am K'moshim M'daberim Arabim. Sometimes He speaks to us like He speaks to a group in the plural. Sometimes He speaks to them, He speaks to us as if He's speaking to an individual. The Kol Kach Lama. Why is this? It's because of the love that Hashem has for us. And it's because of the joy that Hashem shares with us. Therefore, Hashem speaks to them in the singular and as a group. Hashem speaks to us as a klal, and He speaks to you, each and every one of you, each of you as an individual. Why? Because of the love that Hashem has for you and because of the joy that He has in you. We're unique. You're unique. We often don't feel like it. We don't feel it. We don't feel special. Right? We don't feel connected. We don't think about it. How do we internalize it? How do we come to this recognition of how much Hashem loves us and how much Hashem cares about us? The opening paragraph of the Malchus, of the kingship in Rosh Hashanah davening, is the Aleinu. At the end of the first part of Aleinu, he quotes a pasuk: "V'yadat hayom v'ashevos elav avecha." You are to know today and take to your heart, "Ki Hashem hu Elokim b'shamayim ma'av ha'aretz mitachas ein od." That Hashem is the only God in the heaven above, on the earth below, there is none other. The Sefer Chaim explains that the knowledge, the understanding that Hashem runs the world, the heavens above, the earth below, that there's no other, that has to be clear kayom, it has to be clear like the day. But it can't stop there. The Hashevos Elav Avecha, it has to be ingrained in our hearts. Rabbi Yisroel Salanter used to say, the first part, the Yadat Hayom, just the knowledge, that's much easier. The Yetzirah fights that much less. But the second part, the Hashava El Alev, bring it to the heart, that's much more difficult. The Yetzirah fights that much more. Why? Because if we take it to heart, then we live, quote-unquote. We're living with Hashem. We're continually conscious of Hashem. We live with the recognition throughout the day, not the week, not the year, but throughout the day, that Hashem is watching, that Hashem cares, that He cares about us, that He loves us, that He's the Metzias, He's the reality of the world. We know we say Aleinu every day. Aleinu was written by the Navi Yehoshua, and it was put into the Rosh Hashanah davening by the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah. But it was not originally part of our daily tefillah. The early Rishonim, including the Rambam, they don't make mention of it. The Rambam, the Avudram, they don't mention Aleinu as part of everyday davening. The Tur is the first to mention it. The Bach writes, why? Why this change? Why was all of a sudden Aleinu added to everyday davening? And he says something phenomenal. He writes, "Litgaya b'libeinu kodem shniftan l'vateya," to drive into our hearts before we head home. Yichud Malchus Shemayim, the oneness of Hashem's reign. V'shichazik b'libeinu munazu, to strengthen our hearts, this emuna, before we go home, before we go to the workplace, before we deal with the nations of the world who rule over us, who at times they do better than us, that we shouldn't behave or believe like them. V'lo yalav ma'achshav Hashem hira avera. And we shouldn't come to chas v'shalom to the thoughts of doing any averas. If this needed chizik in the time of the Torah and the Bach, then how much more so does it need chizik? Does it need strengthening in our lives, in our times? We live in a world of bittul, of nullification. Everything is put down, and we focus on the negative. We suffer terribly from this. It's the Makas HaMedina. We suffer terribly from this. Our children sometimes suffer even more. But we can break it. We're not going to fix society's problems. We're not going to fix all of Klal Yisrael's problems. But we can fix our own problems. Right? We can break the trend. And I'm going to state the obvious. How do we break it? It starts by appreciating who we are. What's expected of us as a Klal and as an individual. As a nation and each one of us individually. As the Tana de Eliyahu writes, Hashem created the world to be Megala Kvodo, to reveal His honor. All creation, its entirety of the Bria was created for this. We're the Bechir. We're the choice. We're the top notch of that Bria. We're the Mamlechas Kohanim V'Goy Kadosh. We're the kingdom of priests and holy nation. We're the royalty. We forget it. We forget to tell ourselves. We forget to tell our children. There was once years ago a VP, a vice president from Rolls-Royce, and he was being taken to a meeting in London. And of course, if he's being taken to a meeting in London, he's being taken in a Rolls-Royce. So you can imagine the comfort, the luxury, the beauty, the smooth ride, the plush seats, the AC system, everything was unbelievable. He's stuck in traffic in central London. And he starts hearing tick-tock, tick-tock, tick-tock. And he's bothered by it. He's trying, this traffic is heavy, he's not moving. He's stuck there, he's trying to get some work done in the back. Tick-tock, tick-tock, tick-tock. He looks around and he sees there's a clock. There's a clock in the car that's making that noise. Finally, traffic lets up, he gets to his meeting. The next day, he gets to the office, and he calls an emergency meeting. Right? The executives, the plant managers, the assembly line managers are all told, stop what you're doing and show up right now. They have to come to this emergency meeting. Everyone's sitting down there in a boardroom around the big table. They're all sitting there. Vice President stands up, and he says three words. Stop that ticking. And then he walks out. What are we focused on? All the positive that surrounds us? All the good things that we do, or the little bit of negative that surrounds us, the times that we stumble. We have to focus on the achievements, on how good we are, on what we can accomplish. We have to take it to heart. The relationship that we have with Hashem, not the negative that surrounds us, not necessarily the negative that we've done. We've all done things that we're not proud of. But we can't focus on that. We have to focus on the positive, on the relationship that we do have with Hashem. Rav Shach would often quote the Perush HaGra, to suffer the snooze, so one of the Kabbalistic works, the Gra writes, HaKlal, ki goma shahaya, ho beviyya ad olam, little is everything that was, is, and will be in the world. HaKol kolo b'torah b'reishas ad le'enei kol Yisrael. Everything is in the Torah, from the first word of the Torah of Breishas to the last words of the Torah of le'enei kol Yisrael. B'lo HaKlal and Bilvad, not only the generalities, el afilo prato shokol min v'min v'shokol adam b'frat, but the details of everything, of every individual person. Everything that happens to that person from the time that they're born until the day of their death. Rav Shach would say how significant we truly are to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He said, this holds me strong at times of despair. I'm not hefker, I'm not ownerless. I'm in the Torah. What happens to me is in the Torah. You, me, all of us, we're in the Torah, we're significant. Hashem cares about us, Hashem guides us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with us. Nevi Shachaim explains that when we do a mitzvah here, then there's something that goes on in Shemayim that opens up different tikkunim, it opens them up, and it causes shefa, it causes the plenty to go down, to come down, it opens the spigot of plenty to come down, to flow down to this world. Rav Matityahu Salomon, Mashkiach, often explains it's like a reverse marionette. When you have a marionette, you it's a puppet on strings, you pull the strings above, and there's an action below. He said, here, we pull the strings below, and there's actions above. And that's what brings the plenty. That's what brings the shefa through your mitzvah. That's what brings the shefa, brings the plenty down to the world. In my shul, I'm privileged to meet with bar mitzvah boys before their bar mitzvah. And I have a usual spiel that I tell them. And I ask them the following question. What's greater? If you have to do something and you do it anyways, or you don't have to do something and you do it? So I always get almost the same answer, that if you don't have to do something and you do it anyways, which I tell them that's the same answer I gave when I was asked this question. But the Gemara says differently. The Gemara says, Goba Misha Mitzuva Osa Misha Ena Mitzuva Osa. It's greater someone that is obligated to do and does it, someone that's obligated to do, than someone who's not obligated to do and does it anyways. So I give the boys a few answers as to why this is true. I end with, there's a Ramchal. Ramchal explains that Hashem created an imperfect world on purpose. Let me repeat that. Hashem created an imperfect world on purpose. The world's not perfect. We're not perfect. Hashem didn't create a perfect world. He created an imperfect world on purpose. And he created that imperfect world so that we could bring the world to its perfection. Right? That's what we say at the second part of Aleinu, L'sakin Olam Malchus Shakai, to perfect the world with Hashem's kingdom. I tell the boys, what does this mean? I said, Tuesday night, your bar mitzvah. I said, from the time of Bria Sa'olam, from the time of creation until Tuesday night, the malachim have been waiting. He said, till you, Chaim Yankov, you are going to be bar mitzvah. Now you're going to say Kriyashma. Right? You're going to say Kriyashma. All of a sudden now you're mitzvah v'osa. You're commanded to say Kriyashma. Now all of a sudden the malachim are going to start dancing. Certain tikkunim are going to happen in Shemayim. That's going to send Sheva back to this world. So most of the boys at this point, all they want to do is get out of my office. I'm a big guy. I'm a scary guy. They just want to leave. There's one boy a little while ago that he literally starts like dancing, like bouncing up and down. He goes, I'm going to remember this, that I have that potential. But it's not just our mitzvah boys. That's each and every one of us, each and every day. We're mitzvahim v'osim. Hashem commanded us. We have that opportunity. We have that privilege. We have that ability. So there's sometimes we say, well, I'm not in the mood. I don't feel like it. It's a burden. But if we appreciate what we have, if we appreciate, we recognize every mitzvah that I do, I'm bringing myself closer to Hashem, and I'm making the world a better place. That Hashem entrusted us with His Torah. He entrusted us with bringing the world to perfection. He made us totally different than the rest of the world. We're not goyim that do mitzvahs. We're Klal Yisrael. We're the Amah Nivchar. We're the chosen people. We're Mamlechus Kohanim V'goy Kadosh. We're a kingdom of priests. We're a holy nation. The only way we get there is v'hashivos el avecha. We have to take it to heart. To think about Hashem. To make Hashem real to us. To talk about Hashem. To realize and to believe that every mitzvah that I do, doesn't matter what I did before, doesn't matter how many times I failed, every mitzvah that I do, I'm kona chayi olam haba. I acquire eternal life. Every mitzvah. Every single time that I do a mitzvah. So when I have that feeling that I'm not in the mood or it doesn't do anything for me, it doesn't do anything for you. It's giving you netzach. It's giving you eternity. It's like a person telling their financial advisor, you know, this IRA, this retirement account that you set up for me, you know, I'm 45 years old. It's not doing anything for me. Yeah, right now you may not feel like it's doing anything for you, but years later, you're going to need that. The Moshe writes in the Tshuva. He's writing to Rabbeim. He says, what is it that we have to get over in our country? And he writes, Yesh Eitzin Echonish, Yitzarach Amor Lahamtik Es Emunah. We have to sweeten the Emunah in Hashem, that He created the world, that He gives us life, and that He takes care of us, He sustains us, that without Hashem, we wouldn't be around for even for a moment. V'chein ha'amunah shu'nosein ha'torah v'mitzvos, and also the amunah we have to instill in our children, means it has to be instilled in our hearts, that Hashem gave us the Torah and the mitzvos. He chose them specially for us. L'amtigam asher yedu, and to make it sweet and give over to them, so that they should know, shekiyum mitzvah yakar mikol hom v'zav mikol tanugos olam, that the fulfillment of every mitzvah, the fulfillment of one mitzvah, each mitzvah, is greater than all of the plenty and all of the pleasures in this world. Because a person acquires with that netzach, he acquires eternity. That one moment in the next world is greater than all of this world. Right? It's all we have to teach our children. It's all we have to teach our children. It's all we have to believe, but not just believe. That's what we have to live. If we constantly look for the negative in our negative society, we're going to find it. If we constantly look for the negative in ourselves, we're going to find it. We can't focus on that. We have to focus on the positive, on the qualities that we have, on what we do bring to the table, on how good we are and how good we can be. Yes, I may have failed. I may have failed 1,000 times. Doesn't matter. Irrelevant. Right now I'm not failing. Right now I'm growing. Right now I'm connecting. That's what matters. Nothing in life that has meaning is easy. But we have to push. It has to become clear to us like the day, v'ashivos el levavecha. We have to take it to heart. We have to feel it in our hearts. The Chazon Ish writes, Meshach ha'galos ashak mi'itanu ruach ha'kodesh, asher hivdilo mikol am, l'shem u'silu siferes. So the length of the exile is oppressed, it's stolen from us. The spirit of Kedusha, that spirit of holiness that separated us from the nations, that Ruach, that spirit was our pride. Ainu Amah Sefer, that is, we're the people of the book, the Amah Torah, the nation, because of our allegiance to the Torah. Amah Vakesh Chayim Nitzchiyim, a nation that yearns for Netzach, for eternity. Am Yodeas Balabira, a nation that knows its master. Am Yodeas Chavasa Ba'olamo, a nation that understands its obligations. Am Oiv Torah, a nation that loves the Torah. But he writes, Avon this Arva Baglayim Vayolud Maseyim, but we mixed and we learned to act like the nations of the world. Because we have to refine the Osher Agala She'avadnu, that great wealth that we lost, but it's here. We have it. We just have to focus on it, to focus on the positive, to focus on the good we do, to focus on the good that surrounds us, to focus on the love that Hashem has for us, and to eternalize it. We can live a life recognizing that each mitzvah is an opportunity, not a burden. It's hard. The Yetzirah is going to fight us on this. The Chafetz Chaim writes that one of the final tests, one of the final challenges of Golos, that means one of our challenges is that we're not going to feel the sweetness that's within each and every word of Torah and every mitzvah. We're not going to feel that sweetness. On Rosh Hashanah, in my shul, I said over part of a Devar Torah that I heard from Rav Aaron Schechter right before, and I mentioned to the group that, and there's a story behind it, that on Shabbat Shuvah, I said, I want to share the story with you. About a week before Rosh Hashanah, I was bothered by three words that appear, the word truo, truo, sariu, and they have different meanings, but are they coming from the same word? So I called Rav Aaron Schechter, my Rosh Shiva, the Rosh Shiva Chaim Berlin, to ask him this question. He said, I have to think about it. Call me in a few days. I called him a few days later. He said, I can't talk to you now. I still have to think about it. And that was already Thursday. Rosh Hashanah was Sunday. So I wished him a good year, a chesiv, a chesiv, a tova. And I figured, okay, I'm not going to have an answer right now. Sunday morning, Erev Rosh Hashanah, he called me up. He said, I don't have a lot of time now. And he starts to explain to me this whole piece. And it was really a phenomenal, phenomenal piece. Really, it was eye-opening. It was really something that was quite a chiddush and really unbelievable. When he finished explaining it to me, he said, Aryeh, do you hear what I'm saying? I said, yes. He said, you should be singing. I said, I want to dance. He said, I'm dancing with you. Then he wished me a good cheer and we hung up. His grandson, who was with him when this happened, called my son Yitzi, who's in yeshiva there. After he finished, he told me, he said, I don't know everything that went on with your father and the Rosh Shiva. He said, I don't know everything that went on. He goes, but all I can tell you this, is that when he finished the conversation, the Rosh Shiva was swaying and banging on the table. He was literally dancing. That's the masikus. That's the sweetness. We can tap into that. We can be positive. We can give that over to our children. We can instill it in our daily lives. We can talk about Hashem and think about Hashem and appreciate what Hashem has given to us, the opportunity he's given to us to serve him, and the nitzchius, the eternity that comes with it. It isn't easy, but just like the waves, if we push again and again and again, then we can achieve. Then Hashem will look down. He'll see our efforts. He'll see our joy. He'll see our challenges. You'll see how much we really want to serve him, how much we want to overcome these challenges. And I can say especially to this group, Hashem will look down and will see the struggles that you have, but the strides that you're making, how much you want to serve him, how much you want to be kadosh, how much you want to break what's holding you back. And it's not perfection that Hashem's looking for. It's direction. Hashem's looking for us. You want that relationship? I'm going to give you that relationship. Hashem will look down and will see it. And he'll say, Salachti. He'll say, I forgive you. I want you close. And then we can hold on to those words and we can hold on to that feeling of Yom Kippur all year round. Gemar Chasima Tova, I am happy to take questions.
Hold on, Rabbi. Let me do what I need to do here.